From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. The evolution of sport had seen itself intertwined intrinsically with technology. Taking advantage of this is MatchKit, a South African-based sport tech marketplace where athletes are matched with corporates to maximize on the commercial value. Now, led by a star-studded team, on their board is Rugby World Cup champion Brian Abana, media personality Shaka Sisulu, and creative strategist Mike Sherman. To understand the return on investment on sport advertising and how athletes' brand power is measured, in this episode of iAfrican Bites, we're joined by Ben Karpinski, content strategist at MatchKit. Southern African Bites. Ben, lovely for you to join us. Thank you for being here. Now, Ben, we've heard about fintech. We've heard about even insurtech. I think a lot of people haven't heard about sports tech. What is sports tech?
Well, the tech's a very interesting space because just the nature of that means that you're kind of evolving, you're in it, innovating, and you're using all the things at your capabilities at the moment. You know, tech's an interesting space because our lives are more and more digital, as they always say. They're more and more online. We've got to be part of this whole new generation that is using this. And sports, well, sports like every other industry, you know, it involves people who need jobs. It involves people who need to sell things. And it involves people who can create and attract audiences. So if tech is involved anywhere else, it's definitely going to be involved in sports.
Okay. So now, Ben, let's understand MatchKit. For athletes, for teams, for sponsors, you optimize commercial growth and plans. What does MatchKit do?
So my business partners and I have a, well, it's quite a tough question that I should be better at it by this stage. we're absolute sporting romantics at our heart. But at the same time, I mean, we've been working in advertising marketing for probably a little bit longer than I could ever actually remember. I mean, my partner, Mike Sharman and Shaka Sisulu, they've been around for a bit longer in the industry than I have. I've been in this industry for about 12 years now. And my background is content. So I love telling the stories of sports people. And my business partners love showing how marketable they are. And then our fourth partner, Brian Abana, is still to this day a global icon within his sport because 100%. He appreciates everything that goes into being a professional athlete. So the four of us kind of got together, along with our new partner, Carly Skuman, who's our technical advisor or chief technical officer. She creates the tech around that. And the five of us just have one thing in common. We have a lot of faith in sport. We really do believe in the power of sport. And where we want to go with that is just help sports stars get onto the platform and just show the world how marketable they are. You know, sponsorships are a really big deal right now. I think the South African tourism deal has put people into the spotlight of what this is about. And for us, it's that we believe there's amazing opportunity with every single athlete out there. Yes, every athlete wants to be the superstar, wants to be the top percenter. But where did they all start? They all started with a little dream. They all started with a little bit of progress. And they were just able to really kick on. So, you know, we've been working with athletes for a long time now. So it's within our DNA to obviously see that potential because that's why we got to be in this business. You've got to be 100%. So for us, MatchKit is about platforming all athletes, giving them all a chance to kind of succeed. And just to show sponsors out there that there's big and small options. You don't always have to have, you know, like a Sio Khaleesi, for example. You can 100%. Go right now. Various levels. So we kind of want to create the platform where every athlete's got a chance. Every athlete develops understanding of what they have as far as markets value and potential. And how we do that, we give them the tools to then take it further, package themselves more professionally, and ultimately become a viable sponsorship opportunity for brands of varying budgets.
Ben, I just want to get this right. This is amazing. So Brian Abana, you have, you know, Shaka Sisulu, it's yourself. You have Mike Sharman. Whose idea was it? And how did you guys, I'm just trying to understand, like, how did this Avengers team come together, so to say?
Well, I think, you know, Mike and I work closely on a day-to-day basis with our advertising agency, Retroactive. And Mike, if you know anything about the industry, he's a force of nature with himself. He loves telling 100%. A good story. He loves an underdog story, and he just loves to get people together in like fulfilling potential. So for us, it kind of started with us just loving sport. We were at the Rugby World Cup in 2011 together, and we were creating content for MasterCard back then, you know, and it was very much like the early days of influencers. Back in my previous life, I was very much an influencer, content creator. I had an audience, you know, and that's what brands want. Brands sponsor people, they get involved with people because they want to leverage their audiences. And there's a various facets within that that make a lot of sense. And I think Mike and I realized from back then, like, we could be doing a lot more with this, but actually incorporating the athletes. Because to that point, athletes were very tick box in how you would use them. You know, you give them the money, they would display something, they would take a picture with your product, or they might do sort of very superficial things. But we just believe that there was always so much more we could do. Our lives kind of went separate paths. I carried on with content creation and broadcasting. Mike kept becoming the legend of the industry that he is today. And I think as soon as Brian Habana and his career was coming towards a natural end, Brian had a lot of insights. And I think he saw a lot of gaps in the market where our expertise kind of fell in that. And then we had some very sort of synergistic conversations. And on the back of that, we wanted to start creating opportunities for athletes and giving them a better idea of what they need to do. So MatchKit was a very natural kind of thing on that. Brian was then at the Rugby World Cup in Japan with the Springboks, obviously, and not one of them had a website. They all had the expected social media platforms, which is great because you post to that, you got an audience to that, brands then pay you for posts. But what were the levels down from that? How do you really show you're a professional? When people are on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever it is, they're getting bombarded with different things. I mean, we can
100%.
Get fitness models, beauty bloggers, cats, endless cats, celebrity, all these kind of things. And then you've got your sports star who's basically just having to fight for all of that, which in a way is an interesting insight around sports people too. Sports people they have to compete against everything. They're not competing against just sports people. They're competing with whatever our eyeballs are going to next. So that's movie stars. That's hypercars. That is ASMR or whatever the latest trend is.
Yes.
And, you know, for us, it was like, we need sports stars to understand this because once they do, then they'll start marketing themselves better. They'll start feeling they've got to market themselves better and create those off-field attributes that I think a lot of them might take for granted. They just kind of believe that if they're good enough at playing the game, which sometimes is the case in certain sports, then they'll get by. But, you know, there's amazing opportunities for athletes. There's amazing opportunities for brands to get involved with athletes purely on an off-field kind of level. And, you know, all of these thoughts, they were just consistent with us the whole time. And at the same time, we just felt there wasn't a lot being done. And we wanted to kind of formalize that space.
I love it. Sports meets tech, meets marketing, meets strategy, meets... I love the multidisciplinary skills that you guys have and, you know, the culture and the sort of, you know, personnel that you have there. But let's look under the hood. How many athletes have you assisted? How many... What's your pool of, you know, clientele right now?
So it's quite a big question because we are still so young, you know. So when you start a tech product, you basically start with not enough money. I think that's the first rule. And then you realize how even if you had money, it doesn't stretch very far. So, you know, obviously we built a platform, which is in tech speak, the MVP, the most viable product, I think it is. Sorry, it's a stage that I feel like we're kind of past now and it's giving me PTSD. Okay. I definitely get that. I think from inception to... you know, a couple of months back, we had interacted with more than 2,000 athletes. I think it was about 2,200 people that actually created profiles with us. Some of them were speculative, some of them were serious. And that is the nature of where we are. We want to spread the net far and wide. We want to give people the chance, but ultimately it's up to them to apply themselves. Naturally, the better that our tech gets, because this is the whole thing about tech, right? You've got to have tech solutions for these kind of problems. The better our tech gets, the more engaged our athletes will become, and the more that they can actually work on building themselves. So from over 2,000 person base that got involved with that, I mean, it's a good start point, believing that more than 2,000 people believe that there's a need for this and they want to be a part of it. You're going to have drop off. So, you know, we've just relaunched the platform now after many, many times of iterations, insights. You know, my partner Carly and I went over to this incredible selection of seminars in Australia where we got to learn what the world of tech is doing. You know, we often get very sort of caught up in what happens in our immediate worlds here in South Africa. And we do have things that distract us. Going to Australia is like a whole different world, you know, because they're a lot more first world than maybe I initially gave them credit for. And they're doing a lot of things with a small but very vibrant sort of population, you know, that they spend 100%. The money well. There's money in the system. They love building up people. They love giving opportunities to the full spectrum. So we took a lot of insights from that. And when we applied it now to our relaunch, we feel we've got pretty good tech that we can now go to that next level. And it's all about scalability. So now our tech is a lot better. We can take on thousands more athletes and give them opportunity to really kind of work on that, to really have the profile that sticks with who they are.
100%. So take us to the pipeline. I'm an athlete. I create my profile on your platform. At what point does the brand select me? Where does the sport athlete and the brand meet each other?
So you've got to kind of maybe go backwards from that. Try to think of what a brand could possibly want from you. You know, sponsorship is a very interesting thing that, again, I mentioned earlier, like, athletes just think that they just happen. You know, a sponsor will just coincide with what they're doing, and it's very tick boxy. But we know that budgets are scrutinized so much harder nowadays, and there's less marketing money out there. Let's be honest.
Definitely.
So brands have very clear objectives of what they kind of want to do. And, you know, again, going back to that South African tourism story, which everyone has kind of got onto, there's a reason why Spurs were kind of seen for what they could offer. You know, there's a lot of aspects around shirt sponsorship. It's not just a name on a shirt. It's a recognition that you have synergies with this person or this brand. And, you know, you get a lot of sort of, you get a lot of bang for your buck by aligning properly with sponsors. So as an athlete, you've got to understand that there's certain brands out there that will sponsor you, and there's certain brands out there that will never sponsor you because it's just not synergistic fits. So when you're creating a profile, you've got to understand that you've got to look as professional as you can be, but you've got to be who you are. If you are a middle distance runner, you're not suddenly going to be trying to go after like brands that want bodybuilders. You're not suddenly going to go, you probably won't find those fits. So when you build your profile, understand that you've got to be true to all of your characteristics. And that's what we do at MatchKit. We've modularized every single aspect. So there's no design work. You don't have to worry about doing anything complicated. All you do is you just populate things that we've created to make you look as professional as possible. Once you create that, you then have your own URL. So it can be matchkit.co/ whatever your name is. It's all yours. That is your URL. URL. I always struggle with that. You then put that into your bio. You can create social posts around that. It goes back to the thing that websites were a big deal for a good reason, but people didn't get them because they were expensive. They were hard to kind of create. You had to get someone else of expertise and pay them. So MatchKit, first and foremost, gives athletes the best possible profiling platform they can have. And then they can share that with wherever. What we also do on that is that we actually showcase what an athlete's audience demographics are. So by integrating social media in there, suddenly you're not just a canoeer or you're not just a tennis player. You are an influencer with 10,000 people across a certain demographic in a certain geographical area. So again, it's all about packaging. How do you package yourself? So if someone is interested, they're not just looking at you and having a hunch like, well, I kind of like that sport. It's happened so many times in the past that CEOs or brand managers, marketing managers of companies, they might like a sport and then they'll just blindly sponsor that sport.
Yeah. It's out of passion. It's more of a passion project than anything.
I think a great example of that is like, if you go to show jumping, you'll find that someone's daughter is a show jumper and hey, Preston.
Definitely.
Is it the best fit for a brand? Maybe not. Maybe it is. I don't know. Everyone will go, but higher, listen. So, you know, again, it's like we have an understanding that because we work with brands and we're constantly trying to find solutions for brands, like they want to get into certain markets. That's why they have sponsorships. Again, I'm referencing the Spurs and so SA Tourism thing because it's so obvious. It's like SA Tourism needs tourists. Who gets a lot of people?
So just on that, I actually want to pick your brain because, I mean, we had the SA Tourism, and I want to now shift it. I mean, we just discussed the athlete perspective, more from the corporate perspective. I mean, we know, you know, SA Tourism spending R1 billion on Tottenham. We just had FinTech startup Ikoka getting a sleeve sponsorship with Supersport, right? What are the questions and rationale and sort of considerations from a brand, from a brand perspective, when they want to collaborate with certain, you know, athletes? What are they thinking about?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good question, because I think it really ties into why sports people are so good to back. You know, if you look at let's just start with a billboard next to a highway. You put X amount, say you spend 100,000 Rand to be on a billboard that's on the N1 right now. That billboard will display your name and it will show it to anybody who drives past it. Great. That ticks a box, right? For someone like Spurs, that is the most incredible billboard ever. Firstly, the audience is huge. Secondly, 100%. People buy the merchandise. Your brand is now clothing that somebody owns. That lasts forever, okay? So it's not just a three-year deal. That jersey, for as long as they have it, will have your brand on it. There is associated PR around that, you know? So people are talking about this deal, and they're talking about Spurs. So no matter what it is, PR is always going to be an overflow from that. Yes, you're doing a sponsorship deal, but the talkability is absolutely massive. And it's also about how people perceive your company. So, you know, Spurs, English Premier League, they've got this shiny, fantastic stadium. They've got handsome, talented players like Harry Kane. And now you're part of this mix. It's really cool. So you can position your brand of where you want it to be seen, how you want it to be perceived as. I mean, look at Nike. Nike has always been that progressive, ultra edgy athlete kind of brand.
Spot on.
Every time they associate themselves with an athlete, that athlete builds their brand, because people then see themselves as that. And that's what defines what Nike really is and who they are. So it's so important, because a billboard, as I go back to that thing, is just a static structure, right? There's no heart, there's no soul. You're just literally there. Whereas with sport, it's so emotional. It's the good times, it's the ups, it's the downs, it's the loyalty of the fan base. There's actual character, there's beliefs, there's a standard of sort of a behavior around it as well. You know, if you look at the Springboks as well, like it's a world champion team.
They've 100%.
They've got a certain code of excellence. Like, not everyone can become a Springbok. You've really got to be the top of the game. So
100%.
When you're positioning your brand with that, you know, you're almost like leveraging the equity that they've created over years and years and years. So, you know, it's like F1 teams, people want to sponsor those teams left, right, and center. Literally, like, even if Ferrari hasn't been that great in previous years, but it's a legacy brand that you would love to have 100%. On that. All of their sponsors want to be in the same conversation as Ferrari, and that's what it comes down to. SA Tourism wants to be in the conversation with higher LSM British people, because that makes a good tour. They come out here with their foreign currency. That makes good business. So I think, you know, when brands look at things like that, they want active sponsorships. They want things that are going to make them look good. And if you look at a sports star, there's teamwork. You know, if you look at Ikoka, you mentioned that now. They're a tech business that helps small businesses, right? So they're 100%. Big business. They're a team-based company. So what do you want? You want to support a team. SuperSport United has always been quite unconventional. You know, they were the sort of like the new kids, the ones that went against the grain. Ikoka as well, their payment systems are going against the grain. They want to help the underdog. They want to help the little guy. So that sponsorship isn't just the sleeve anymore. It's the story we're talking about right now, about teamwork. It's the brand association. And it's about them coming off sort of cold, so to speak, and then being like kind of exposed to the SuperSport United audience, which is exactly their sort of customer, perhaps. And that's the whole thing with us, is that I've given you very broad, obvious examples here, but we see this within athletes. I mean, right now we just launched an adopt an athlete campaign with 12 Olympic and Paralympic hopefuls. These people haven't just been randomly selected. Like, they've all got a great story. They've all sacrificed something in order to success. They all have the ability to inspire. They all have the ability to kind of educate you about a sport. And if nothing else, they all have the ability to like show you something positive in a time where it's quite negative what's happening around us. So we are kind of looking more in that sort of micro space where we know every athlete has a great story. We know every athlete has potential to really kind of help a brand tell a story. So the more athletes that we can kind of get onto our platform, package them properly, it's almost like shopping for athletes in a certain way. I know that sounds incredibly capitalistic. And
but that's what it is, isn't it?
Again, it goes back to what I was saying. It's like athletes are competing against all of these other things that we spend money on. They are competing against your Netflix subscription. They are competing against whatever Instagram's trying to sell you with a captivating ad. So, you know, we almost have to take that clinical numbers approach and say, like, we need to package you. We need to be able to know that people can shop with us for athletes.
100%.
And you know, it all sounds very grandiose right now of me saying this. You know, our company's not even 3 years old, basically, you know, and our tech's got a long way to go building this kind of thing. But how you change something in this world is by just getting started, you know, and like as much as we would love all athletes to have some aspect of match kit in their lives, it's not there yet. But we believe that if we're going to service a big sort of problem out there and give them and give solutions, then I think we're really onto something here, and athletes can only benefit, which is exactly where we want to be.
Ben, has MatchKit raised money? Are you raising money or are you bootstrapping? Where are you as a company?
We are bootstrappers looking to raise. Again, this
okay.
It's always quite a tough but an emotional question. And I'm probably more on the emotional side of all our partners because I'm the guy living in the trenches with the athletes. So for me, like the most sport is kind of more there. I think if you talk to more from a business kind of sense, that's when tech stars become less interesting and less glamorous. Like you can't really go anywhere unless you sort of raise. It's great if you have a product that gets bought quickly and requires minimal overheads and you can scale without too much. Those are absolute unicorn kind of companies. But for us, yeah, we definitely are in the process of raising right now because like there's certain ways to attract more athletes. The more athletes we have, the more sponsorship that we can kind of create. And that obviously then speeds up the revenue model for what we do. And we're just kind of hoping that we can get natural traction by putting our faith in athletes and really working on our strengths. And then things will scale from there.
Besides South Africa, what other sort of countries are you seeing adoption of MatchKit?
So we, interestingly enough, our first sort of major client was South American rugby. So we had an in there, and South American rugby is kind of where maybe South African rugby was kind of 1995 post-World Cup, in that you've got mostly amateurish clubs within countries that now want to create a professional stronghold for their teams. So, you know, it's been so fascinating kind of working with these countries, mostly because the time zones are different and all the conversations have a Spanish or Portuguese interpreter. we kind of got the ball rolling with them. And there are such amazing opportunities because you've got these emerging rugby nations. And I think, you know, I can predict that the growth of rugby, World Rugby Union, is going to be out Western Hemisphere. You know, they got the Rugby World Cup. They're about to have the FIFA World Cup as well. So there's a lot of stuff moving out there. And South America, in our opinion, is a hotbed for that kind of stuff. Yes, you've had Argentina for quite a while, a strong rugby team. Uruguay has come up. But, you know, we've been dealing with like Paraguay, Brazil, Chile. There is a lot going on there. And I think they're going to start linking up with the likes of Canada and North America as well. So that side of it there is a place that we see a lot of growth. But getting back to Australia, it's a very similar market to South Africa, as you would imagine. There's good feeder systems for talents, all these kind of things. But the difference is that their government spends money really, really well, as in they're reinvested or just invested. Like they're all about building up because they understand that sport creates a more harmonious and happier society.
Society, 100%. Like, it heals.
Yeah. And if you go into all the major cities there, you know, people really support the teams. And whether it's Aussie Rules, AFL, whether it's crickets, whether it's rugby league, which is also one of the huge sports there, or whether it's football, the local teams get supported because there's just good structures in place. And when you have good structures like that, good feeder systems. So therefore, as amazing growth opportunities within that. And then naturally, everyone has a dream of getting into America. But, you know, it's almost like, to put it as a sporting analogy, you know, it's like playing the rookie leagues and then you rock up to the pros. You're going to be up against the best of the best because everyone is chasing the American market. So the way that we see it here is like obviously plugging rugby union markets around the world because there's huge growth there. The Australian market for us is really important because I think we've got some really great synergies and working with the big organizations. And they've also got the Commonwealth Games coming up. They've got the Olympic Games there in 2032 as well. So that's going to be our sort of, you know, sort of 3-4 year plan there. And then ultimately, you know, scale on a more global aspect because I believe the demand is there.
Ben, adopt an athlete. Who are you adopting? What's happening? What's this campaign about?
Well, look, when you go to the Olympics, you don't just rock up. You don't just get a plane ticket and hope for the best. The Olympics, you need to be prepared. And there's so much that goes into it. really is. Right. You know, like we initially worked with the SA men's hockey team in the lead up to Tokyo, and they were needing to raise money because getting there is one thing. All the teams you're playing against are very well prepared. They've got very good structures. And it was absolutely mind-blowing, the kind of funds that they needed, from buying balls for practices, just to like how much water we need per training session. I went down into that journey of everything that these people need cost-wise. And I just thought to myself, like, we're never going to be competing against the best in the world if we're just showing up. So, you know, my partners and I believe so strongly in these underdog stories, because every underdog is actually the person who can be the sort of front runner at some stage if they're better prepared. So with adoption athletes, you know, we found some Olympic and Paralympic hopefuls. And I hate to use the word hopefuls because it just sounds so general, but that's exactly what they are. They're just hoping. Or they're just hoping that something's going to work out for them. So with adoption athletes, we want to take that sort of chance and the hope away from it and actually try really solidify their preparation. So we give brands and companies opportunity to really be like, get introduced to these athletes. We identify them. We package them. We show them what they're about. We show what they need. And then rather than brands just sort of guessing which people to kind of back or having a punt here and there, we can package the athletes that really need sort of assistance right now with Paris 2024 as their major horizon. And, you know, it's such a cool story if you get in right now, because there's a genuine need to uplift these athletes. And the more chance they have of performing well, the greater their story is at the Olympics. I mean, at the last Olympic Games in Tokyo, we had, what, 2 medal winners? That's not very good in a sports-mad country. And I think it's indicative of the preparation that these athletes are into. We had probably the worst track and field representation from a country of natural athletes, right? We'd had, I didn't even think we got into any of the sort of finals, which is really, really sad for a country with this. So we believe that if we can get companies to really back these athletes and adopt their sort of cause and, you know, contribute towards them, you know, we have these crowdfunds set up on their MatchKit profiles. All you have to do is go to matchkit.co and you'll see these athletes. They're living, breathing, passionate people that need some support, because we all love the Olympic stories. But 100%. Then we kind of wonder like, okay, well, why aren't we getting more?
But Ben, for brands that are going to be watching and listening to this, they might be thinking, but hold up, Ben, these athletes belong to sporting bodies that get grants from either national, the Department of Sports. I mean, why is there a shortfall of money? Just, you know, to make them understand that. Why would they need an extra boost from crowdfunding in this campaign that you're running?
Baton, you asked the tough questions here. Huh? Firstly, we're not known for putting money in good places, let's be honest. Let's be quite diplomatic to start with here. We don't have great sort of channels where the money goes into that. I know we've had the National Lottery as a one example of money goes from there in towards certain characteristics. But there's no real excellence campaigns, high performance kind of things where a lot of money gets channeled for this kind of stuff. And to be very honest with you, we don't have the ability to attract the talent. Just like money aside here, attract the best in the business to allocate these funds and to create excellence platforms within sporting organizations. That is not a dig at the sporting organizations at all. It's just that people who are really good at this kind of stuff generally work for private sector or they're working overseas. And it's absolutely no wonder that these people don't get the funds that they need. So it's a hot topic, and it's so easy for us to say, oh, well, these people are just useless. I would hate to say that, because we all need to work together. But I think what it really comes down to is that it's hard to do. You know, you'll see countries like Great Britain, when they had the London Olympics, they put so much money, but we're talking millions and millions and millions of pounds in here. But they had a structure, and there was an actual task force to get the medals together. We don't have the resources. We just don't have the resources to do that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, there is a need from the private sector to support these athletes. But also what it comes down to, and this is a greater reality for all athletes out there in the professional realm, is that you can't sit back and just rely on things happening. Whether you are part of good governance or poor governance, a lot of the time, especially in individual and in fringe sports, you've got to make the running yourself, unfortunately. It's a very difficult and disciplined approach that you have to take. And what it comes down to with MatchKit is that we're just looking to provide those tools. How can we play a part in making the change so these athletes aren't always that struggling talent story? You know, because we're tired of those stories now.
Too many of them. Too many of those stories.
We're tired of hearing the story of just almost good enough. You know, we know there's so much talent in this country. Like the fact that we're such a durable race of people with different sort of societal melting pots, we've got so much going for us, but we need those little aspects to kind of get us to the top. Because once we're at the top, I know for a fact, look at our other sports that have been well-resourced and have done well. Once we're at the top, everyone fears South Africans. Everyone fears our grit, our determination, our will to win, and also just our will to make our country proud. We need to get more people to the top there, and that's what we're looking for with Match Kit. The more people we get to the top of the pyramid, I think everyone wins.
Ben, what you guys doing at Match Kit with this specific campaign is phenomenal, and I hope and pray that, you know, this interview and, you know, through our channel, iAfrican, you know, it really spreads that message. And it's the highest form of patriotism. Like you said, sport is a nation healing activity. And, you know, it fosters cultural aspiration, you know, nation building. And it's such a beautiful thing. So good luck, guys. Thank you for coming, Ben. Thank you for coming. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madonko Tokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.